A member this week shared with me how her boss has made a mistake. And her boss blamed it on her. She had nothing to do with it. But yet she was blamed. She was crushed. She was upset. Has that ever happened to you at work? Work can be pretty stressful. But how does God want us to behave at work? Paul, in the book of Colossians, teaches how our behavior ought to complement our belief. See, the Colossians were being influenced by the world, and their behavior didn't reflect what they really, really believed inside. You see, the Colossians were exalting the mind to the exclusion of their hearts. See, they were focusing so much on what they know instead of what they are to do. They also stress outward conformity rather than inward transformation. And they want others to look at them to see how good they are on the outside, instead of allowing others to see how they are on the inside. That was sort of the theme as we looked through the book of Colossians. As we have gone into chapter 3 of Colossians, Paul instructed how we, as believers and followers of Christ, we're to be Christ-like in our marriage as well as in our family. And we talked about that last week. And he goes on this week to talk about how we ought to be Christ-like in our workplace. You see, slaves back in those days were not just servants that did the different menial jobs in a home. Slaves were described as one that was owned by the master. They were like properties. See, people became slaves either because they were born from a slave parents, or because they are in such great debt that they sold themselves as a slave to someone else to pay their debt. Or they might be slaves because of military conquest. And many times they were treated like dirt. And many times even worse than dirt. They were not even perceived to be even like human beings. They were greatly mistreated. It was very, very difficult to be a slave back in those days. Well, many of these slaves became Christians. Now, as being Christians, how are they to behave? How are they to view their master? And as some of the masters, they also became saved and became Christians. Now, how are the masters or the employers, how are they to view the slaves or the employees? How are they to live a lifestyle that is pleasing to the Lord in the workplace? What does that look like? How does one become Christ-like slaves or employees, as well as Christ-like masters or employers? That's what we're going to talk about today. You turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. We'll begin this journey. Right off the bat, slaves were given two commandments. First, they were to obey their masters. The word obey here stresses the constant daily obedience. Be consistent in obeying their master. He goes on to qualify, says they ought to obey in all the things that the master or to ask of them. Of course, if we look at other passage, of course we're not to do just anything. I mean there might be things that are against God's standard, which we need to uphold to. But in general, we're to obey our master totally, not only on the things that we like, but also things that we might not like. It does not matter whether our boss might be a Christian or not a Christian. It does not matter whether our boss is kind to us or maybe not so kind to us. Has commanded us to obey. But not only that, we see in verse 23 that we are to work for the Lord. Work for the Lord. The word do denotes faithful toil and labor. Being faithful in serving and working in our workplace. See, obey and work goes hand in hand. And how do we go about as slaves or employees? How does that look like? What do we need to do as Christ-like employees? Well, first we see in verse 22, it says that we're not to please man's heart. Sometimes we obey to just please the boss. And mainly for personal benefits. We're thinking that, I do this, I'm going to get a promotion. If I have no personal benefit, I'm going to slack off a little bit. I'm not going to give my 100%. And Paul says, we need to put our best foot forward. Doing our very best. Instead of trying to impress our boss with so-called outward conformity, again, God's more interested in our inward transformation. God wants to turn us inside out. We're not to be like the rest of the world. We're to stand out because we are children of God. Instead of pleasing man's heart, we are to please the Lord. We work for the Lord. We see that the second way, how we are to work as a Christ-like employee. We need to work with singleness of heart. Singleness of heart. You see, in verse 22, it says sincerity of heart. It could probably be translated, and it should be a stronger word instead of sincerity, singleness of heart. Now here it talks about our attitude. When it's totally devoted, totally loyal to the master. It's not only enough for us to do the right thing at work, but we need to have the right attitude, singleness of heart. Sometimes when we are to do something that we don't like, we kind of do it grudgingly. You know, whenever we do so, we don't have a very good result. And in addition, we as employees, we need to guard ourselves from having an attitude of entitlement. Every time we feel like we're entitled for this. And particularly, sometimes when we are working for a Christian boss, we think, hey, you know, he should give me a little more slack because we're brothers. No, no, no. Matter of fact, as we work for Christian boss, we should work even harder. Show that Christ works in us. No entitlements. God looks at our hearts. Not just only our attitude. We might be able to fool others, but yet God is there. And we cannot fool God. He knows our hearts. And we need to work for the Lord. See, we need a real bigger picture about life. See, life is not all about us. I mean, that's just a real key principle I'm still learning. Life is not all about me. So often we do things depending upon how it benefits me. But God's created us for Him. We need to understand how all that we do, how we can please Him. Actually, we are not our own. God has bought us with a price. We owe our all to Him. We are nothing. May we do our work for Him. You know, God's plan will prevail whether we choose to follow Him or not. Let us sink in for a little bit, that thought. God's will prevail whether we follow Him or not. Let me tell you, it's much better if we follow Him to get the end result. May we seek to have our minds to coincide with the Lord. We studied earlier in chapter 3 that we are to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. We're to have things from God's perspective. May we have singleness of heart to be obedient to our Master. You know, when Pastor Doug submitted his resignation, basically all of his responsibility came upon my shoulder. I guess I had one or two way of responding to that. I could have just sort of griped a little bit and griped a lot. Or see that as an opportunity for me to grow. And I said to myself, in order for me to do this well, I need to be more efficient in my time. How can I be more efficient? I need to really think through what I need to do, absolutely need to do, and what I shouldn't do, and what I need to delegate out to other people. I need to build a little bigger team so more people can be involved. If I seek to grow, then I will be a better pastor overall. How is our attitude at work? Do we see certain entitlements? Or do we see, Lord, I'm grateful that I have a job. I want to be obedient. I want to work hard for you. Because I owe all of who I am to you. We're not only to work to please men's heart, but we're to work with singleness of heart. And thirdly, we're to work with all of our hearts. You see this in verse 23. Now, work with all of our heart gives us the picture of work with out of our inner soul or inner being. Such labor must not be cold and mechanical. It needs to be genuine. It needs to be authentic. It needs to be enthusiastically done with all of our hearts. We work to please God and not to avoid punishment. Let me say that again. We're to work to please God and not to avoid punishment. We work for the Lord. Interesting enough, we see this theme over and over again, repeated in this passage. We're for the Lord, in reverence to Him. You might say, you know, all this stuff you're saying, it might sound good, but it's so hard to do. And you're absolutely correct. In order for us to do so, we really need to be connected with God. If we're going to really enjoy all of life, and particularly in our work life, we need to be connected with God. We need God to give us heart surgery. Because we need inner transformation in order for us to do so. And when we are connected with God, when we die to Him, then we will be able to live for Him. Then we will be able to truly do all the glory of the Lord, and particularly in our workplace. As we look in the next couple of verses, verse 24 and 25, Paul goes on to explain why we are to obey and work for the Lord. He gives a positive reason and then sort of a negative one. The first one in verse 24 says, since you know that you will receive an inheritance for the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord you are serving. It's the Lord that you are serving. The faithful service will result in divine reward. Now that might take place here on earth. It might not necessarily take place here on earth. We need to see life in a more eternal perspective. So often we just see what's going to happen now, this week. God created us for Him. And we are to do all for His honor, for His glory. God says that we will all stand before Him at the judgment seat. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. God will judge us based on all that we have done here on earth. And you know, we spent at least a third of all of our time during the weekdays at work. Some of us even spend more hours than that. That's a whole lot. And God's going to hold us accountable. May we do it for the Lord. You know, my son will be graduating next month, or this month, in a couple of weeks. Lord provided him with a job, and he drives an old 96 Camry. That's almost 200,000 miles, and I just thought in my mind that naturally, if he's going to get a new job, that he'll probably get a new car. But one day he asked me, he says, Dad, how's your car running? Well, that was strange that he asked about my car. I have an old car, too. I have a 98 Accord. And what I was thinking in my mind was, well, maybe he thought maybe I should get a new car. And I should give him my car. I mean, I was just thinking, you know, like, well, to my surprise, he turned to me and he says, Dad, I'd like to buy your car. Ah, I was kind of shocked, you know. You want an old jalopy, you know? And willing to save and all. I was just so happy and over joy that he's learned some important lessons in life. That I wanted to reward him by offering him my car. You know, you can have my car. Because you didn't ask for it. You know, I believe the same way our Heavenly Father, who ultimately is responsible as we are faithful in obeying and working hard for our Master, that he wants to reward us for what we have done. And particularly under difficult situations that we might be in, we still being a faithful example for others. God promised to reward us. He goes on in verse 25 to give us another reason, more of a negative reason. He says, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. He says, our work will be judged by Christ. Poor service will be judged. To do wrong is basically to do that which is short of God's righteous standard. That might mean not putting out our very best when we're doing our work, or just putting in our minimum, very minimum effort to just get by. It might mean to working with wrong motives to impress our boss when he is present. It might mean that we just want to look good. See, God says that we will all be accountable to him. The Lord will judge all of us with no favoritism, even if we might have a very difficult situation at work. We don't get any preferential treatment from the Lord. God is just. God is righteous. He will treat all the believers alike. And no matter whether we are employee as well as an employer, God says that we'll get what we deserve. We can't. We might fool others, but we cannot. God. So Paul spent the last couple of verses looking at how we are to be Christ-like employee. He then sort of shift and turn to the master or the employers, how we ought to be Christ-like employers. And some of us here are employers. How are we to behave at our workplace? We see right off the bat in chapter 4, verse 1, as Christ-like employers, we're to treat our employees right and fair. Right and fair. Now that means we as employers, we must be very careful to use our authority in a proper manner, not to abuse it by mistreating employees. Because we're going to be accountable to our Heavenly Father. But we are to do what is right. Do what is right. Do what the employee deserves. If the employee has done hard work, we'll affirm them, reward them. May we learn to listen to those that were under us. May we try to understand them from their perspective. May we learn to value them. As we value them, they will value us. We need to do what is right. Now, that might mean also, if our employees is not doing their job, we need to confront them. We need to correct them. But that is right. the employer not only to do what is right, but also what is fair. This word fair talks of being equal. The boss should not give favor to one employee over another, particularly if they're doing the same job and upholding the same performance. No favoritism. However, realistically speaking, at work, there are times we as employees might be mistreated. What should we do? We're not supposed to be doormats and totally blindly obey. Yet we have a choice. We have different choices. And definitely we can appeal our cases through the proper procedures. Usually there's a procedure at work, going to a higher superior, explain what has happened. There was a member in our church was doing a very good job. He was doing such a good job that his boss was threatened by it. And his boss decided to accuse him falsely of things he did not do to get him in trouble. Well, he just really stressed this member out. He tried appealing, but unfortunately, it didn't get anywhere. But he's continued being faithful at work. I must admit, he had many sleepless nights. But he pleaded to God, that it would change the circumstances. And lo and behold, the Lord provided a new job offer from another department. He was able to transfer from that very terrible situation to a much better situation. Now, that was a good conclusion, but yet there might be times try to appeal and nothing happened, continues. Try to be faithful, we'd be mistreated. What do we do? Well, you know, we still have a choice, you know, whether to continue to work there, and we do. We need to obey and work hard with all of our hearts, work for the Lord. Maybe God might be wanting us to learn some particular lessons through that process. Or maybe God might say, hey, it's time for you to move on. We do have a choice. Move on to another job. Then we ask God, give us an employer that would treat me right and fair. As we take a look in the latter part of verse 1, you see the master or the employer will be accountable to God. When we are mistreated, we sometimes want to get back at our boss. By slacking off or finding some way to embarrass our superior. And as we learned earlier, you know, we all will be judged, whether we're employee or employer. Instead of judging our master, we need to let God do the judging because they will be ultimately accountable to God. They will be accountable to God as to how they treat the employees. And you can be sure God, being a just and righteous God, will follow through. And we learn to trust the Lord. The bottom line is that we need to learn to connect with God. In order for us to fully enjoy all that which we can receive at our workplace, and to do all that we can do, we really need God. We need to desperately cry out to God. Teach us to be humble servants. Teach us to work in such a way that would be pleasing to Him. For what is pleasing to God, also in return, God will honor us. God's interested in life transformation of our heart. We need heart surgery with Him first. Then we will be able to represent Him well in our workplace. Let our behavior complement our belief. Let us bow for prayer. Father, You have placed us in our different workplace. And for some of us, we're in a difficult situation. Lord, we ask You help us be faithful to You. Lord, we know that You're the ultimate judge. Lord, may we continue to be obedient to You, that we work for the Lord. And some of us here might be in very tough situations. Give us wisdom on how we might appeal, what we will do with our job. For many of us, we're just thankful that You've given us jobs. Jobs with employers that do things that are right and fair. We'll give You thanks. In Christ's name, amen.